All right, great stuff from Chris Haw from DoveyNation.com, and we'll be looking forward to that game at the Coliseum for the Mountaineers as they play in that CBI tournament. And it's good. They have another home game, which is nice, at the Coliseum. Now we move our attention over to the Thunder and Herd, and they're also going to play in a postseason tournament, CIT. And they're going to take on the Jaguars there at IUPUI. It's kind of hard to say. On the line of the voice of the Thunder and Herd, Steve Cotton. It's been a while, but welcome back, Steve.
Sure thing, Brandon.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was looking at that school that Marshall's taking on, and that's a tongue twister for us broadcasters. You're gonna have a little bit of a time with that.
Yeah, the kind of slang term for them, I don't think they are very really like people to use it, but a lot of people call them ooey pooey, which doesn't quite even fit the spelling. But IUPUI. I think once upon a time, Indiana University at Indianapolis, and they kind of combined with a Purdue University campus there. And so you have IUPUI and the Jaguars, who haven't been in Division One all that long. I think it was around the year 2000 that they moved into D1 athletics. And Ron Hunter, the guy who's had so much success at Georgia State in recent years and has won another championship, was once upon a time the head coach at IUPUI. That's where he kind of got things going for his head coaching career.
Pretty cool. All right, let's take this season in, kind of a little synopsis for the season. Starting out 5-0, and they lost, I think it was 7-8 or something like that, and then they won 6 straight. That's including the 5 down the stretch of the regular season, and then won there in a conference USA tournament. But before losing in that conference tournament game against Southern Miss, but kind of taking the season as a whole, and would you say that they – I wouldn't say achieve what they wanted to, but what was your overall take of this season?
Well, that rough stretch in the middle was kind of the story of the year for the Marshall basketball team, and it kept Marshall from doing what it hoped to do, and meant that Marshall ended up, and it was just kind of a weird year because of the Conference USA bonus play experiment where you were broken into three groups for the final four games of the regular season, and that poor stretch where Marshall lost 7 out of 8 games, relegated the Thunder and Herd at that point to the second group. And even though Marshall ended up with the second best record, would have been a tie for the second best record overall in Conference USA, the Herd had the number 6 seed in the tournament, because if you finish in group 2, you and the first 5 teams were in group 1, 5 more teams in group 2, you couldn't finish any higher than number 6. And so despite the fact that Marshall finished in second place in terms of records, Marshall was the 6th seed. And again, that also takes into consideration Marshall's final 4 games were theoretically against teams that weren't as good as the top 5 teams played in their final 4 games. So just a little bit weird. So Marshall ends up as the 6th seed. And the way things fell, there was a big a three-way tie. Marshall would have been a part of a 4-way tie if everything counted, but a 3-way tie in group 1, and the way the tiebreakers fell out, I think Southern Miss was probably the worst matchup in Conference USA for Marshall. And Thundering Herd got the first round win over Rice, but then ran into Southern Miss and played quite well, but Southern Miss also played well and got that win. So didn't go where Marshall wanted it to. The Herd had higher hopes than going out in the quarterfinal round of the Conference USA tournament. But here we are. There's some more basketball to be played, and Marshall fans get to see some of the greatest players in Marshall history. John Elmore is 20 points away from tying, 21 away from passing Skip Henderson as the Thundering Herd's all-time scoring leader. And C.J. Burks is 13 points away from moving into the top 5. And how crazy is that, that you have 2 of your top 5 scorers playing simultaneously all 4 years of their careers? They were teammates. So that's kind of crazy and speaks a lot to what Marshall fans have been able to enjoy the last few years. And they get at least one more opportunity to come out and view these guys in person.
Yeah, if you're just joining us here on the Brandon Lowe Show, talking with Steve Cotton, voice of the Thunder and Herd, and Marshall continues their season there, the postseason CIT, tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Cam. You mentioned those seniors there, like John Elmore and C.J. Burks. You know, that's what I was just about to bring up to you, the fact that they basically changed some history there, because it's been a while since Marshall made the NCAA tournament. Then they win their first NCAA tournament game in program history. So they ultimately changed history there, and then they also left this program in good shape.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And add in Rondale Watson, another native West Virginian out of Lewisburg who played a couple of years at Wake Forest and transferred into Marshall for his last couple of years. And a fourth senior is Christian Thieneman, and has another year of eligibility, but he's going to graduate and go into the family business over in Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, he's not from the state of West Virginia, but Louisville's actually closer to Huntington than the Martinsburg area, and as close as Lewisburg for C.J. Burks and Rondell Watson. So Christian kind of became an honorary West Virginian throughout his career. Those guys have done great things, and they're going to be great ambassadors for Marshall University as well.
John Elmore, his impact on the program as a whole, conference records and program records, of course, but John Elmore, Charleston native, which I love, and love having on the show, just a great kid, very mature, and he comes into the program and never looked back and was just the perfect kind of guy that D'Antoni really liked in his system, and he thrived, to say the least.
No doubt. And, you know, we say conference records and Marshall records, but he has done things that, well, he's a group of one in NCAA basketball history for people who have scored 2,500 or more points and also had 750 or more assists. He's the only one to do that. There have been a whole lot of guys who played college basketball, and then among the guys who have scored at least 2,500 points, the most assists belong to John Elmore with over 760 now, more than 200 beyond anybody else. The second most assists for any 2,500-point score is Johnny Dawkins, who had 555. John's at 765 and counting. And in the top 15 on this list, and again, this is the most assists for guys who have scored 2,500 or more points in their careers. How about these names? Jimmer Fredette, Skip Henderson from Marshall was actually sixth on that list, Sean Elliott, and then Larry Bird, Pete Maravich, Oscar Robertson, and John Elmore, far and above any of the others on the number of assists among those great scorers. So he's done amazing things. Conference USA is the only Division I basketball conference in America that has the same guy as its all-time scoring and assist leader. So John Elmore has done things that, when you stop and think about it, are really amazing.
Yeah, if you're just joining us again here on the Brandon Lowe Show, voice of the Thunder, you heard Steve Cotton joining me here talking some Marshall hoops. And again, their season's going to continue tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the CAM and the CIT there taking on the Jaguars. I want to ask you this, since you've talked him up, and you're right with all those things. You know, I should have said NCAA too, because he's done a lot of things for college basketball. Where would he place in the history of the program? You mentioned a lot of great players there, but where would he kind of be in that list? Like, you know how guys like to do that? You know, what's the top five quarterbacks of all time? What's this? Where would John Elmore land on some type of list if you're putting together a list in history?
Well, he's certainly up among the all-time greats. And at Marshall, you probably have to start with Hal Greer because he's a top 50 player in NBA history.
Yeah.
And integrated Marshall University athletics, the basketball program. So that's a guy who did some singular things. You also have the highest draft pick in Marshall history was Russell Lee, a guy who played along with Mike D'Antoni in the early 70s. And Russell is a guy who scored over 1,800 points in his career in the era where you played only 3 years. Freshmen were not eligible, and he also didn't have the three-point line. So he's done some things that you might say, wow, nobody else would have matched, you know, if you put him in today's game and let him play 4 years and have the three-point line, although I don't think Russell was necessarily that much of an outside shooting threat. But and Mike D'Antoni, certainly not only for what he did on the floor, leading Marshall to maybe its best season ever, one of the best seasons ever, in 1971-72 when they won, only lost five games, were ranked as high as number eight in the nation. Of course, Marshall, the current D'Antoni at Marshall University, Dan, will certainly step up and argue with his brother that last year was the greatest year in Marshall basketball history because of the becoming the only team to ever win an NCAA tournament game. So, and John Elmore was the face of that one. So there are, you know, and a handful of others. You had some J.R. Van Hoos and Tamar Slay, and Leo Bird was an unbelievable scorer in the 1950s. So there are several guys who are in the discussion, but John Elmore takes a back seat to none of them.
Let me ask you this. Getting to play in that CIT, which is extended play, but great experience for the young guys. But for the seniors we just talked about, you think this is your last time playing at the CAM on Senior Day, and now they get another one, which is pretty special. We talk about the fans, and obviously the more games you get, the more practices is good for the young guys. But letting those guys that are going to be leaving this year able to come back and play there, I think is pretty special.
Yeah, and I think the fans will step up and especially with an opportunity to maybe witness Tuesday night a new all-time scoring record. So that would certainly be a big part of it. But you do make a really good point that often when teams choose to participate in the CIT-type tournaments, that it is to get younger guys involved. And it'll be interesting to see how Dan D'Antoni and his staff go along those lines. Now you want to win a game, and the whole idea is to keep playing more games and get these guys experience. You get it by winning your first and your second and moving on and on. But do you let some of those guys in at crunch time when maybe you wouldn't do that, hoping to build a little confidence and see what you have coming back for next year and give them some opportunities along those lines? So that's always a little bit of a twist when you play in these kind of tournaments.
Finally, guys, we've talked about those seniors, but you have a freshman in Tavion Kinsey, for example, who's just a tremendous. And this team looks like it could still be pretty good next year. Where do you think this team's – I mean, I know we still got a recruiting class, all that stuff coming in, but where do you think this team as far as next year is going to be?
I don't think that Marshall will drop off as much as most people would anticipate when you lose a John Elmore and a C.J. Burks and a Rondell Watson kind of class. There are three guys – who are redshirting this year, who are very, very talented. Jeremy Dillon, a West Virginia guy from Mingo Central, and certainly a top-notch talent, one of the top players in the state, one of the top recruits in the state. You have Cam Brooks-Harris, who's from Zanesville, Ohio. And then a late transfer, a mid-season arrival, in Andrew Taylor out of Corbin, Kentucky. Highly recruited guy, scored over 3,000 points in high school, and looks like probably the odds-on favorite to become the next round of what John Elmore does as a Marshall point guard, but went to Furman and just didn't feel like he fit in there. So transferred to Marshall. He's been practicing this semester, and another good-sized guy, 6'3", little bigger body than John in terms of kind of a stronger, thicker kind of player, but can do a lot of the same things, really has a great shot. And so I think around Conference USA, a lot of the coaches are saying, thank goodness that those guys are gone from Marshall. But I don't think that the Thundering Herd is going to be left wanting for some scoring punch next year either.
Marshall in action tomorrow, game against the Jaguars, 7 o'clock, first round at CIT at the Cam Henderson Center. You can listen to Steve right here on WBES, as well as our sister stations, AM 1240 and 95.7. Again, the Jaguars finishing 500 season. They got knocked out of that first round of their tournament, their conference tournament, by Wright State. So it'll be interesting. It's cool to get those seniors back on at the CAM and those young guys you mentioned. Steve, enjoy that game, and thanks for the time on the show.
All right, Brandon. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, dude.